is in Fabry, the place is Veninas. I think she's a any retreat. Go back something from last week. Once, as I was talking with my spiritual director, I had an interior vision, quicker than the lightning, of his soul in great suffering. In such agony that God touches very few souls with such fire. The suffering arises from this work, Divine Mercy. There will come a time when this work, which God is demanding so very much, will be as though utterly undone. And then God will act with great power, which will give evidence of its authenticity. That means to say, so far nobody believed until the very moment, the end. Nobody believed. Only God spoke. It will be a new splendor for the church, although it has been dominant in it from long ago. That God is infinitely merciful, no one can deny. He desires everyone to know this before he comes again as judge. He wants souls to come to know him first as King of Mercy. When this triumph comes, we shall already have entered a new life in which there is no suffering. But before this, your soul, spiritual director, will be surfeited with bitterness at the sight of the destruction of your efforts. That means he went to Rome and talked to all the people, and then some say yes, and then at the end, no. Collapse in the end. So he really suffered. However, this will only appear to be so, because what God has once decided upon, he does not change. So what God wants, yes, is time. Humanly speaking, it's difficult to understand why at the end, still, no results. But although this destruction will be such only in outward appearance, the suffering will be real. They suffer for the sake of Jesus, no? Not for their own glory, not for anything. But Jesus expects this and cannot do anything, humanly speaking. When will this happen? I do not know. How long will it last? I do not know. So many times we ask God many things, we don't know the answer. But God has promised a great grace, especially to you and to all those who will proclaim my great mercy, the word of Jesus. I shall protect them myself at the hour of death as my own glory. And even if the sins of the soul are as dark as night, when a sinner turns to my mercy, he gives me the greatest praise and is the glory of my passion. When a soul praises my goodness, Satan trembles before it and flees to the very bottom of hell. So Jesus promised on the day of Divine Mercy Sunday, those who look at this picture, these two nights, all graces, whatever you ask. During one of the adorations, Jesus promised me that with souls that have recourse to my mercy, and with those that glorify and proclaim my great mercy to others, I will deal according to my infinite mercy at the hour of their death. So maybe you don't see it now, by the time you are going to heaven, so the mercy comes to you the word of Jesus. My heart is sorrowful, said Jesus, because even chosen souls do not understand the greatness of my mercy. Their relationship with me is, in certain ways, imbued with mistrust. Oh, how much that wounds my heart. So what hurts more, Jesus, is you don't trust His love. My passion, and if you do not believe my words, at least believe my wounds. So that to the lights come the broken heart. Even you don't believe, then you have to believe His wounds. I make no movement, no gesture after my own liking, because I'm bound by grace. I always consider what is more pleasing to Jesus. When meditation runs on obedience, I heard these words. In this meditation, the priest is speaking particularly for you. Know that I am pouring his lips. Jesus using human means to teach. It is not a priest, his holiness. Only the Jesus lent his lips to teach. So he's not the priest. I tried to listen most attentively to everything and to apply everything to my own heart, as in every meditation. When the priest said that an obedient soul was filled with the power of God and word of Jesus, yes, when you are obedient, I take away your weakness and replace it with my strength. I'm very surprised that souls do not want to make that exchange with me. Obedience means humility. You just trust that God is speaking through the priest. You just trust. But you say, no, I know more than he knows. I'm more fervent than he is fervent. I'm smarter than he. So can't do much. I know that I live not for myself, but for a great number of souls. So Faustina is living, offering her life for souls in purgatory. No? She is the secretary general for the Divine Mercy on earth and in heaven, no? By the time she mentioned, no? I know that graces granted me are not for me alone, but for souls. So whatever she says, it's not for herself, not for her glory. That means, well, if you listen not for yourself, even you listen not for yourself, for the glory of God. Because many souls depend on the trust. If they don't trust, at least you trust first and share this faith to other people. If you don't trust and then tell people you trust, right? No strength, your words. Oh Jesus, the abyss of your mercy has been poured into my soul, which is an abyss of misery itself. Thank you, Jesus, for the great graces and the pieces of the cross which you give me at each moment of my life. At the beginning of the retreat, I saw on the ceiling of the chapel Jesus nailed to the cross. He was looking at the sisters with great love, but not at all of them. There were three sisters at whom Jesus looked severely. For what reason, I don't know. I only know what a terrible thing it is to meet with such a look, which is the look of a severe judge. That look was not directed at me, and yet I was paralyzed with terror. I still tremble as I write these words. I did not dare to say so much as a single word to Jesus. My physical strength failed me, and I thought I would not live to the end of the conference. The next day, I saw the same thing again, just as I had seen it the first time. And this time, I dared to speak these words, Jesus, how great is your mercy. So Jesus is kind, but also we have to be good, otherwise you hurt Jesus. On the third day, the gaze of great kindness upon all the sisters, except the three, still was again repeated. I gathered up my courage, withdrew its force from love of neighbor, and I said to the Lord, "You who are mercy itself, as you yourself told me, I beg you by the power of your mercy to look then with kindness at these three sisters as well." And if this is not in accord with your wisdom, I ask you for an exchange. Turn to them the kind look meant for my soul, and yet your severe gaze at their souls returned to me. Jesus then said to me these words, "My daughter, for the sake of your sincere and generous love, I grant them many graces, although they are not asking me for them. But I am doing so because of the promise I have made to you." So if there's a grace, there's a conversion. If they ask, surely there is a conversion. If they ask, but for sinners asking for them. So Jesus promised to give them the grace. At that moment, he turned a merciful look toward those three sisters as well. My heart leapt with joy to see the goodness of God. See how important that we pray for one another. Intercession. When it states for adoration from 9 to 10 o'clock, four sisters stayed too. One approached the altar and began to meditate on the passion of the Lord Jesus. A terrible pain immediately filled my soul because of the ingratitude of so many souls living in the world. So I think this ingratitude, this hurt Jesus more than the Peter scratching a crown of thorns. Yes, it is painful, but what's more painful is our heartness. But particularly painful was the ingratitude of souls experienced, chosen by God. There is no notion or comparison which can describe it. At sight of this blackest ungratefulness, I felt as though my heart were torn open. My strength failed me completely, and I fell on my face, not attempting to hide my loud cries. Each time I thought of God's great mercy and of the ingratitude of souls, pain stabbed at my heart, and I understood how painfully it wounded the sweetest heart of Jesus. If a burning heart, I renewed my act of self-oblation on behalf of sinners. With joy and longing, I pressed my lips to the bitterness of the cup which I receive each day at Holy Mass. It is a share which Jesus it's the share which Jesus has allotted to me for each moment, and I will not relinquish it to anyone. I will comfort the most sweet Eucharistic heart continuously, and will play harmonious melodies on the strings of my heart. Suffering is the most harmonious melody at all. I will assiduously search out that which will make your heart rejoice today. The days of my life are not monotonous. When dark clouds cover the sun like the eagle, I will try to brave the beetles and make known to others that the sun is not dying out. Although you don't see it's cloudy, but the sun is there. She tried to make people understand this. I feel that God will let me draw aside the veils of heaven so that the earth will not doubt His goodness. God is not subject to eclipse or change. He is forever one and the same. Nothing can contradict His will. I feel within myself a power greater than human. I feel courage and strength thanks to the grace that dwells in me. I understand souls who are suffering against hope, for I have gone through that fire myself. Judas, he died because of despair. That's most the temptation, most temptations. Losing hope. Sorry, I think. Another paragraph, a general principle. It would be a very ugly thing for a religious to seek relief from suffering. Not only for religious, for each one of us. If you want to escape, that's not the best way. Follow Jesus, His way. So, what grace in reflection made out of the greatest criminal? He who is dying has much love. Remember me when you are in paradise. You mean the one who lacks to Jesus, no? Remember me when you are in paradise. A kind of contrition. Heartfelt repentance immediately transforms the soul. The spiritual life is to be lived earnestly and sincerely. If you're earnest, open, God's grace is there. Only our pride, stubbornness, that keeps you away from this grace. Unfortunately, love must be reciprocal. If Jesus not tasted the fullness of bitterness for me, then I, His pride, His bride, will accept all bitterness as proof of my love for Him. If you say Jesus loves you, Jesus offers everything for you. He who knows how to forgive prepares for himself many graces from God. As often as I look upon the cross, so often do I forgive with all my heart. Many times we can't forgive because you don't have the heart of Jesus. You don't look at Him, you don't trust Him. You're only on yourself. Human things that block us to go ahead. You know, even Peter stopping Jesus to go to Jerusalem because he will suffer, and Jesus was sudden, go to my back, because what you think is about human things, not things of the Lord. It's different. Things of the Lord, it's not abstract, but you have to take courage. They say, yes, the will of God. Many times the will of God is not that bright. But sometimes the will of God you have to carry across on a daily basis, on momentary, we have to say yes. Through holy baptism, we enter into union with the other souls. Death tightens the bonds of love. I ought always to be help to others. If I am a good religious, I will be useful not only to the border, but to the whole country as well. Social life doesn't live only for her sanctification, for her sisters, for the country. For her, it's for Poland. You know, Poland today is free because there are some souls, not many, but they sacrifice their life for their country. So you sacrifice for the Philippines. And we have to sacrifice for China, you know. The Lord God grants His grace in two ways, by inspiration and by enlightenment. If we ask God for a grace, He will give it to you. But let us be willing to accept it. In order to accept it, self-denial is needed. Love does not consist in words or feelings, but in deeds. It's an act of the will. It is a gift. That's to say, a giving. The reason, the will, the heart, these three faculties must be exercised during prayer. I will rise from the dead in Jesus, but first I must live in Him. If I do not separate myself from the cross, then the gospel will be revealed in me. Jesus in me, making up for all my deficiencies, His grace operates without ceasing. The Holy Trinity grant me its life abundantly by the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the three divine persons live in me. When God loves, He loves with all His being, with all the power of His being. If God has loved me in this way, how should I respond? I, His spouse. So we have to live life of Blessed Trinity. Blessed Trinity is losing yourself for others, die of yourself for others. That's the Blessed Trinity. The Father never lived for Himself. He loves the Son completely, totally. And the Son always lives for the will of the Father, nothing but the will of the Father. Losing His will to the will of the Father. You see, Jesus, at the end, even He asks, humanly speaking, can You take this cup away from Me? But then He says, will the will of God be upon Me? It's not easy, eh? During one conference, Jesus said to me, you are a sweet grape in the chosen cluster. I want others to have a share in the juice that is flowing within you. During renewal of vows, I saw the Lord Jesus on the epistle side of the altar, wearing a white garment with a golden belt and holding a terrible sword in His hand. This lasted until the moment when the sisters began to renew the vows. Then I saw resplendence beyond compare, and in front of this brilliance, a white cloud in the shade of a scale. Then Jesus approached and put a sword on one side of the scale, and it fell heavily towards the ground until it was about to touch it. Just then, the sisters finished renewing the vows. Then I saw angels who took something from each of the sisters and placed it in the golden vessel, somewhat in the shape of a turbo. When they had collected it from all the sisters and placed the vessel on the other side of the scale, it immediately outweighed and raised up the side on which the sword had been laid. So first down, and then the merits of the sister put it equal. At that moment, a flame issued forth from the turbo, and it reached all the ways to the brilliance. Then I heard the voice coming from the brilliance, put a sword back in this place. The sacrifice is greater. Sometimes we have to fight. Self-sacrifice also can help. Then Jesus gave us His blessing, and all I had seen vanished. The sisters had already begun to receive Holy Communion. When I received Holy Communion, my soul was filled with such great joy that I was unable to describe it. February 15, 1935, a few days visit at the parents' home to see my dying mother. When I learned that my mother was seriously ill and near death, and that she had asked that I come home, and she wanted to see me once more before dying, a host of emotions were awakened in my heart. As a child who sincerely loved its mother, I wanted very much to fulfill her wish. But I felt this to God. I left this to God and resigned myself completely to His will. If it's not the will of God, I will not go. Paying no heed to the age in my heart, I followed God's will. On the morning of my name day, February 15, Mother Superior gave me a second letter for my family and granted me permission to go to my parents' home to fulfill the wish and request of my dying mother. I began at once to make the necessary preparations for the journey and left Venus in the evening. I offered the whole night for my seriously ill mother, that God might grant her the grace of losing none of her merits of her sufferings. My traveling companions were very kind. Several women of the Solidarity of Mary were in the same compartment with me. I sensed that one of them was suffering greatly and fighting a difficult battle in her soul. I began to pray in spirit for this soul. At 11 o'clock, these women went to another compartment for a chat, leaving only the two of us behind in the carriage. I could feel that my prayer was causing these soul struggles to become even fiercer. I did not console her, but prayed all the more fervently. Sometimes when you want to help people, it's not necessary you talk. You know, there's the only time she can talk. Consoled. She didn't. It's time. Pray. I did not console her, but prayed all the more fervently. Finally, the lady turned to me and asked if she was obliged to fulfill a certain promise which she had made to God. At that moment, I received inner knowledge of her promise and replied, "You are absolutely obliged to keep it, or else you will be miserable for the rest of your life. This thought will pursue you everywhere and give you no peace." Surprised at my answer, she opened her soul to me. "So when time comes, open. If not, keep your mouth shut. Don't be too smart. Let God work many times through prayer." She was a school teacher. When she was about to take her examinations, she had promised God that if she did well in the examinations, she would devote herself to His service, that is, enter a religious congregation. It's a promise. If I did the examination well, I would join. If not, perhaps. She passed the examinations very well. But, she said, "when I enter into the hustle and bustle of the world, I no longer wanted to enter a convent. However, my conscience has given me no peace, and despite amusements, I'm always unhappy. She had to sing, she had to dance, go to here and there, free. She's not happy." After a lengthy conversation, she was completely changed and told me that she would immediately take steps to enter a convent. She asked me to pray for her, and I felt that God would be generous with His grace. So beautiful. So all the time is a time of mission. even you're not doing anything. There's somebody next to you, you know something wrong. Pray for that person until the person is open her soul and listen to the inner voice and give whatever is given you through the Holy Spirit. No more and no less. Mostly we do our human part. We think we got this inspiration and teach. We are not teacher. You know, we just are now God work through us. Pray for them, it's very important.